are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Welcome to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and producer of the award-winning film StemTheMovement.org. And you know what I love to do? I love helping people see things differently. I enjoy when a perspective is widened, when views are enlarged, because the more angles you have of the situation, the better the vantage point, so that you can make informed decisions. I've been blessed with experience in all sorts of areas, and I believe in my heart and soul that we all live and learn in order to share and teach. I love serving Maravation. It's a perfect blend of motivation and inspiration. I believe some of the greatest people in the world are only one word of encouragement away from being and doing something meaningful. You see, I think if more people would get outside of themselves and their situations and just look up, call up, speak up into the lives of others, we would experience a more productive world around us, which is bringing me to the point of OMG. The Omar Gale Radio Show desires to bridge the gap, connect people in ways that they wouldn't have been connected. And tonight I am super excited because we get an opportunity to glean from one of my sister friends who's a coach and she's a counselor and she's an author and she's just an awesome woman of God. And tonight the topic is very simply about making marriage intimacy mo better. And my special guest tonight is none other than Melody Charles. Would you be so kind, audience, and put your virtual hands together for a hand clap as we welcome Melody Charles to OMG. Welcome, Melody.
Oh, Mara, thank you so much for such an awesome introduction. I just love the intro of your show. You are amazing.
Oh, bless you. Mirror reflection of you. I am so excited that we get to have an online conversation because you and I have known each other for years in California and in ministry. And your husband used to be one of my biggest supporters of the Anointed Agenda. And I'm looking forward to bringing that back next year. So I'll keep him posted and you posted on that. But I'm excited because tonight, whether people are single, married, or learning to live life after a divorce, we're going to allow you to share the six-step process to help a wife create more intimacy with her husband. There will also be, of course, tips on how to wait for Mr. Righteous, and the info that will be shared will be both practical and personal. And to get things started, Melody, I'm just going to briefly allow you an opportunity to share it with people. You've got an amazing book out, so I want you to share the title and share the concept of that, and then we'll go ahead and roll into the six-step process, okay?
Awesome. All right. So my book is called The Smart Girl's Guide to Choosing Mr. Righteous. He gets to find you. You get to choose him.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. That's right, right? Like, we don't have to go looking for them. They're going to find us, right?
Yes.
They know how to find a woman when they want one. And so basically that book came up for me because women have learned to attach to men emotionally, but not have the conversations that they need to be able to evaluate whether this person is suitable for marriage. So I don't believe you need to spend too much time. You can just have a couple of conversations, and the question number one is, are we equally yoked?
Yeah.
And you can just stop right there if you're not. So that's what the book is based on, and it's been it's been a blessing, and I get such positive feedback from that book.
Oh, that is so cool. And it's available on Amazon, correct?
Yes, it's on Amazon.
Good. And the concept for that particular book, just so that I can drive down a little bit of that street, you know, he gets to find you. You get to choose him. Those words right there, I can just kind of camp out on because they taste yummy. Sometimes I believe women are thirsty. And I actually have a phrase. I say, you know, desperation smells horrible on women. Men can smell it a mile away. So when you say you get to choose him, that should be a note to those single women out there that you don't have to take the first thing that crosses your path or swims your way or drives down your street or the first person that says, hey, baby, can I buy you a drink? Or, hey, sweetheart, can I take you out to dinner? You get to actually choose. And that's powerful right there. And I think sometimes single women forget that they have that in their hands.
Yeah, actually, Maura, I think it's important that we on purpose make sure we decide that we're going to be the chooser. So it's very easy for us to be approached by men, but we have to recognize that we're keeping our spiritual eye open and our mind open to whether or not this person is suitable for the plan that God has for my life. So there's going to be lots of men around, but there's only going to be one that we're going to be spending the rest of our life with. So that's always supposed to be our obligation, is to make sure we make a wise choice according to the Word of God and according to what God has placed in our heart.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I know that you've been married now for, what, 6 years, is it?
Yes, I have been. I've been married for 6 years now.
Excellent. And I know also you had been married in the past, and you were married for over a dozen years, and you went through a divorce. And I only want to go down that street briefly because there are some women out there and some men who are trying to rediscover life after a breakup, after a divorce, and after the hurt. So before we can get to the intimacy in marriage, sometimes we have to stop, press, pause, and kind of deal with the issues of the heart if there was bitterness or betrayal or any of those things before we move on. So you were married for, what, 16 years?
I was married for 19 years.
19 years. Wow, 19 years. And and then after that, you actually went on a self-journey, I believe it was, to wholeness and healing, right?
Well, of course, absolutely. So the thing is, I would like to share that, you know, the Bible tells us, forgetting those things which are behind, I will press toward the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. So for a person who maybe had a breakup from an engagement, a breakup from a relationship, a breakup from a marriage, all of that is under the blood. It really doesn't even matter what happened. So from this day forward, we're going to create the abundant life. According to John 10, Jesus said, I came that you will have life and have it more abundantly. So my whole thing was to always have an abundant life. I've always had that within myself. You know, like me, we're full of faith. So we want to make sure that we are experiencing that faith life. And if I fall off, I'm going to pick myself right back up and press forward.
Yeah, yeah. I too went through a divorce, and that's always a very challenging experience and journey because it feels like it's a death. And even believers, you know, divorce doesn't have a respecter of Christians or non-Christian. It just doesn't. It can knock at anybody's door, and you can have the word, you can know the word, you can quote the word. However, when you find yourself at the door of death or the door of divorce, it seems to be rather devastating, and there seems to be a haze or a cloud that you can't seem to get out from under. And as you said, you know, forget those things in the past, so that you can go forward and press towards the mark. However, there are some people, and we want to encourage you, Melody, and I want to encourage you, for those who are still carrying the bitterness from a past relationship or the hurt or even the loss of it, God will never leave you nor forsake you. So even through divorce or even through the loss of a loved one, this holiday season in particular, and I'm addressing this off the top end, because once we start talking about the intimacy of marriage, I have a feeling that that train's going to go so fast. And I really want to make sure that we allow the Spirit to minister to those who are feeling lonely this holiday season, because of a loss of a loved one or because of a divorce or a breakup or a separation. So we're driving down this street right now to just encourage you and to let you know, and Melody and I can both attest, life gets gooder. It really does. God has a very unique and specific plan for you, and those plans are to prosper you and to bring about an expected end. So even in this moment, you may not feel like it. It may not seem like it. It may not even look like it. Just know that God has not forgotten you, will never forsake you, and he will never leave you. So that's just a drive-by, a little free PSA to encourage you in this season. So, Melody, let's go ahead and get to the good stuff, because I know you got some stuff to share. So let's start off with, let's just do one of the steps for the process to help a wife create more intimacy with her husband.
The first step is to identify what's keeping you from having him.
Identify what's keeping
you from having intimacy.
So unpack that a little bit. When you say identify what's keeping you from having intimacy, what is it that you want them to specifically do, or what tips and tools can you do, can you share to help them identify what's keeping them from intimacy?
So we have these basic needs. If you want to be accepted by your partner, you want to be respected, you want to feel loved, both people are experiencing these things, and you want to make sure your relationship is kept at the highest priority.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to say within your relationship, if you're not feeling emotionally connected, what is it about the relationship that makes you feel disconnected? Are you not spending enough time together? Are you not communicating? Is it how you're communicating? Is there resentment, unforgiveness? What is it that makes you feel disconnected? So maybe for a lot of women, especially, you know, people who are raising young children, mm-hmm. they might be overwhelmed with just being really tired. And they don't feel emotionally supported by their partner. And they need to learn how to ask for help or create a plan that works for them. So to have intimacy, you have to really know your partner. You have to know what they like, what they don't like, what motivates them, and how to communicate with your unique husband. Because everybody's husband and everybody's marriage and circumstance is different.
Very true. Very true. So how can they go about, let's say a person is in a relationship and they just haven't been able to discover the keys of, you know, what really motivates their husband or know what they really like. Do you happen to have any examples of how they can learn, you know, or discover those things? Because, you know, everybody, like you said, everybody's different. Everybody comes to relationships with their own, you know, beliefs and their own set of rules and their own set of, you know, likes and dislikes. And they're not always verbally communicated. So are there some, maybe some physical things that a person can look for to identify it? Or is it as simple as, because sometimes, it, you know, I can make something deep and it's real easy, like just ask, what do you really like? Or, you know, what jazzes you? You know, what do you get excited about? So that, you know, I don't have to read between the lines. The guy, you know, doesn't have to read between the lines. So is it as simple as that, just having a conversation, a candid conversation and inquiring?
Yes. And for the rest of your life, to have a close relationship, just like we have a relationship with God, you have to have conversation. So if you're not having conversation, you're not going to be close. So it is really simple. It is something that we have to do on purpose. Maybe your work schedule could be keeping you very busy, but that's why you have pretty much the standard of having a weekly date night Now, my husband and I date all the time. You know, we date so much that we can't even really call it a date because we're always together and doing fun things, having a good time together. But we have meaningful conversation all the time. And so it's important because if let's say that maybe you're a couple who doesn't do that a lot, or maybe your husband doesn't, maybe he doesn't talk a lot. Mm-hmm. So when you're spending time, learn to see what is he paying attention to.
Okay.
And you adapt to him, learning how to communicate with him in the way that he communicates. Maybe he is a person who likes to play a certain sport or go watch a certain sport. So if you go with him, that's going to create an opportunity. So I would say, number one, always the woman always can create an opportunity where she can have an have a conversation.
That's good. That's good.
Yeah. So wherever, if he's going somewhere, go with him. Always be together as much as you can be together, that, you know, in a healthy manner. Go with him so that you can have an opportunity. If it's, say, I'm going to run to the store, you say, hey, you mind, I might run with you. If it's okay, you guys go together. Create more of a habit of being together than apart, so you can have opportunity for just simple things might come up. You know, you could just be in the car taking a drive, and you can ask one question. You don't have to overwhelm him. You can just ask one question or make one comment and say, what do you think about that? You know,
that's
I was cool. thinking that maybe we could buy a new house. What do you think about that? Or I was thinking that maybe we could take a trip somewhere. What do you think about that? If you could go anywhere, where would you like to go?
That's good. That's good. Because it doesn't have to be, you know, my husband says this phrase all the time. He says, much can be accomplished if no one cares who gets the credit. And that's basically what you're saying in this. You're saying if you want more intimacy and it hasn't happened naturally, it's not that you're going to force it, but you're going to, A, communicate more, just like, you know, our relationship with God. I call it into me see with God, meaning he sees into me, I allow him access. So into me see is my intimacy with God. And I'm constantly communicating every single day. I'm reading what he says about me and says who I am. And I write letters and love letters to him and sing songs to him. And it's the same in my marriage. You know, I write love letters to my husband. I leave them on the computer. I put them in his lunch bag. I put them in his wallet. I put them all over the place. I know he's like, this woman, her love language is definitely words. But
aww.
I'm saying that because I'm constantly in communication with him. But then I also heard you say, Melody, which I think is extremely valuable and important, which is women don't have an excuse if they want more intimacy to be able to get more intimacy. Because what I heard you say was, whatever his thing is, even if we have to adjust and tweak our schedule or our time a little bit, if we're the ones desiring the intimacy, bend a little bit, you know, acquiesce a little bit, and allow ourselves to participate in something he's interested in. I know my husband loves football, so sometimes I'll sit on the couch and we'll watch football together, you know, play toes. Well, I play toesies. He's just watching the game. But I'll sit next to him so that I can have that extra time if that's something that he enjoys doing. So you're talking about things like that, if it's he's watching a game or if he's going to a game.
Yes.
To go ahead and participate. That's a good tip. All right, so let's go.
Yeah, but I have something else, Mara. Okay. So intimacy is not something that you can think of as, I want this. This is something that every marriage needs. We have to do it. It's not something that we can just say, oh, I feel like I want more intimacy now. Intimacy belongs within marriage all the time. So we want to nurture that all the time. And ideally, both people should be pursuing each other to do it, but if your husband isn't doing it and the woman is the one and she recognizes it, she has to do it. Just like you would make sure your household has certain things that it needs, you won't ask for permission. You need to do it. I remember one thing when I was a young girl, my mom, I was talking about my sister, and she said, you know, always have a nice outfit. I always dress nice, always look nice. She was referring to my sister, and she said, it doesn't really matter what your husband says. You do it because this is what is healthy for your marriage. So
We are going to do those things because we know what's best for our marriage.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And I'm gonna put a little pin in it and press pause for the cause. I'm going to allow us to go to a very brief short commercial break, and then we're going to come right back. I want to remind our listeners that you are listening to OMG, the O Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special guest tonight is Melody Charles, and we're talking about making marriage intimacy mo better, and it's going to get mo better. So stay tuned. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
We want to thank today's sponsor, Up to Me Magazine, a new uplifting and inspiring magazine with stories of purposeful living, such as Meet the Minimalist, the story and journey of Ryan Nicodemus and Joshua Milburn. Less stuff, more meaningful life. And an up-close and personal conversation with Will Haygood, author and associate producer of the acclaimed film The Butler by Lee Daniels, and so much more. So get your subscription today at uptomemagazine.com. That's up, the number 2, magazine.com. And what's your story? Now we return back to our program.
Welcome back to OMG. I'm Mara Gale, your host, and my special guest tonight is Melody Charles, and we're talking about making marriage intimacy mo better. And we've just shared, Melody just shared one of the first tips, which was one, identify what's keeping you from intimacy. And ways to go about doing that is to either find out what they like, meaning what your husband like, or husbands find out what your wife like. And that can be as simple. You don't have to make it deep. You don't have to make a chart. You don't even have to do a diagram. Ask the question, what do you like? What do you like to do? What do you, you know, what motivates you? You can look into things about like that. And she also volunteered a nugget and said, whatever your mate or partner happens to be into, to try to go with them to those events and to always be in constant communication. So thank you for that step one. Go ahead and roll out step two for us.
All right. So keep in mind that as we nurture the emotional intimacy, that's going to help with physical intimacy. So, you know, it's pretty hard for most people to connect physically when they're not emotionally connected.
That's true.
So, So let's create opportunities for physical connection as well. You know, that's something that we have to have on a regular basis. That's what keeps a marriage healthy and thriving, and that's an area that some people have challenges with. So there's opportunity for hand-holding, snuggling.
I love holding hands. I don't know if all women love holding hands, but I love, my husband has some amazing hands. I love holding his hands, but I really do love holding hands.
Yeah, we're hand holders.
Yes, it's just, I don't know what it is about holding hands, and maybe it's the connectedness because fingers get intertwined. It's also, you know, this is a grown-up show. It's also, to me, like a form of that foreplay of what's to come, meaning, you know, you start with communication, and if somebody, you know, opens your door or pulls your chair out, or if someone, you know, purchases you flowers, or if you come home and, you know, your spouse has washed the dishes or done something that you would normally do, all of those things stack up to the foreplay that creates and sets up the opportunity that you're talking about, which is the physical opportunity for intimacy, right?
Yes. And
those are ingredients that help fill that love tank.
Yes, and each person they like things differently. So you can't compare any person with another person. Everybody likes to be touched in a different manner. So you have to have conversation about that. What do you like? What do you don't like? Or express what you like and what you don't. But the key is to make sure that you are being sexual with your husband on a regular basis. It's key.
That's good. That's good. That's very good. And I don't think we need any more elaboration on that, unless there's some more you want to share on that, because outside of us saying what we said, we'd be basically doing a one-on-one conversation trying to let people know. But we're really just sharing with you, listeners, just so you know, to kind of bottom line it, we're really just sharing with you, intimacy isn't just the holding hands and isn't just the communication. It's physical too. We were wired and created a certain way. And because of the way we were wired and created, and we're talking in the context of husband and wife so that everyone knows, and most people who know my show know what I believe in. And Melody,
yes,
is it, we're on the same,
yes,
line.
Same page.
This is in the biblical sense of marriage. But without that other ingredient, that intimacy time and intimacy actions, you are leaving your marriage exposed to an attack, perhaps, or one or more of the persons or party being feeling lonely or feeling disconnected, because all of that makes up the marriage. You know, when the word talks about there's nothing defiled in the bedroom between a husband and a wife, those things are true. So we can't just take the rest of the Bible and not believe and apply what God's word says about the institution of marriage, and what that entails. And it does entail, you know, relation, having relation with somebody. So hello.
Yes. yep.
You know, and it's another a shame that you got to dance around it. But, you know, it's really a shame that in the church you sometimes feel like you have to dance around it. And it's like, no, it shouldn't have to be danced. That's why a lot of people are getting divorced, because they're dancing around. They're not finding out what marriage really entails and what each person's responsibility is to keep the marriage healthy, just like your body needs certain things to have energy every day when you go out in the workforce. The same thing for your marriage.
And another thing that helps to increase emotional intimacy is to have common goals. Set a goal for your marriage and for your life. You might traveling, we like to travel, so that might be one of your goals. You might have a financial goal. But when you're on the same page with something and you're striving for that together, that gives you something that you can be connected with together.
That's good. That's kind of like, you know, and this is a sidebar, but sometimes people have the same hobby so that they can do that thing together, you know, be it playing tennis or riding a motorcycle. But absolutely, I believe goals in life are extremely important. And I also believe goals in a relationship, in a marriage, is also important. Do you have some examples of some of the kind of goals they can set for their marriage, perhaps? Not necessarily personal goals, because you'd have to know them, but, you know, are there some things you can share with the listeners so that if they've never done that before, because some people may have never done a vision board for their own life. So to them, having a goal for the marriage is what? You know, we plan to get married, we did. We plan to buy a house, we did.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
wanted to have a couple of kids, we did. So they may not be able to think outside of that particular box. So can you perhaps unpack that a little bit and share a couple of nuggets or examples, or, you know, to get their mind kind of thinking on that?
Yeah, I would say, so if there is a couple who they're not really, it's not something that they do on a regular basis or they've ever tried, you know, maybe their church has an activity that they could participate in for married couples, and they could do that. If not, if they don't, they could find one in the community. If they don't have that, they can go together to the bookstore and find a book that they both would like and read the book, read a couple of pages to each other in the bed before they go to sleep at night, or sitting together on the couch. They take turns reading to each other and talk about the book. They could, find a mentor or someone that they like to watch. I'm a person, I like to watch YouTube, mm-hmm. you know, So Keith and I, sometimes on the way to church, we'll, you know, he'll like to turn on, you know, he says, which one do you want to listen to? And we'll listen to Pastor Jimmy Evans. So it's like a 30-minute show. And, you know, we don't necessarily get through it all, but usually we're going to get a conversation out of that. So I believe it's important to just take baby steps, you know, and if you don't have a lot of knowledge about the tools, get a book. Start off with a book about marriage, and one that you know, is according to the Word of God is going to be beneficial. But I do highly recommend following Pastor Jimmy Evans if you don't have a marriage resource. That has been a valuable resource to us.
Pastor Jimmy Evans, and he's available, I'm assuming, on, you said YouTube?
You can find him on YouTube, yes.
Okay, and then I'm sure from that point they can go ahead and look up some of his reading materials. Because that name might be a little common, Pastor Jimmy Evans, do you know what state or city he's in so that
Yes, if they're located in Dallas, Texas, or South Lake, Texas.
Okay, and so look for the person in Texas named Pastor Jimmy Evans.
Yes, it's called Marriage Today. They have Marriage Today Ministry.
Oh,
so
good.
I'm comfortable sharing that one because I've actually used that one, and I've actually been a workshop facilitator with their content and studied their material. So I'm comfortable with that particular ministry.
Perfect. One of the books I liked was by Gary, The Five Love Languages. I believe it's called The Five Love Languages. I'll look that up before we end our show tonight. But let's go ahead and move on to another one of your points for us tonight.
So one of the other tips is to decide when you're making choices in your life, how is that affecting you? You know, if you take a particular action, and you know, how is that going to affect the closeness of the relationship? If I decide that I'm going to, let's say, go back to school, I want to make sure that I weigh the pros and the cons. Where is my marriage right now? You know, what's the emotional state of my marriage? Is my marriage really feeling strong and secure before I take on a new major project? I want to make sure that I'm controlling things outside that are coming in to take the time and the energy away from the closeness. The closeness, you know, it's God first and then the closeness that I feel with my husband, not just being married, but the closeness that I feel with my husband. And I have to make sure that that's in the healthiest state before I can take on something new that's going to pull me away.
That makes complete sense.
I like to, yes. So definitely decide what the choices are and don't make a decision without your partner. Make sure that whatever decision you're going to make, or if he's going to make a decision, that you have a conversation about it and that you agree so that you are on the same page. How can two walk together unless you agree?
They cannot.
You can't. And that's going to build trust. If mm-hmm. you violate trust, you're not going to feel close. You're going to feel resentment.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and we don't want resentment in our house or in our relationship. So make sure we're having, that's why it's so critical to have these conversations on a regular basis.
And you
even
know what?
Even little things.
Yeah, you're absolutely, you know, you just said a lot, and I want to unpack it. I like to pause sometime and taste some of the words my guests share, because it's really good. What you're saying is really good, and sometimes when people hear it, they're like, okay, so, you know, I know not to buy a car and just bring the car home. I know not to, you know, buy a Rolex and bring the Rolex home. But it could be something that seems innocent, like you signed up for a free class, not even a paid class, but you signed up for a free class at church. And nothing's wrong with signing up for a free class at church, but you signed mm-hmm. up for it on, let's say, Thursday. And Thursday, somebody has to be picked up from soccer, or Thursday is the day that something really demanding happens in the household, or, you know, it could be anything. But I'm mentioning that because sometimes it's the little foxes that spoil the situation. And
definitely,
that could be a little fox. So if you're communicating properly, I heard you say you won't violate trust and you won't build up resentment. And the other ingredient that you won't do is a husband is the protector and the provider in a lot of cases. And so if the husband goes out and does something like that, and the woman is feeling like, you made this big decision without me, the woman won't feel secure. She won't feel like you protected her.
That's it.
From whatever it is. And it doesn't mean that it has to be something bad. I want the listeners to hear my heart and your heart on this. It doesn't mm-hmm. have to be something bad. It's not like it's an affair. It's not like it's, you know, some indiscretion. It's just a lack of communication and a lack of respect for the partnership that you and that person agreed. Yes. You agreed to walk together. So those decisions need to be made as a couple, because if it's going to affect the household, then it's a couple decision, correct?
Yes, and that's where transparency comes in. That's another ingredient. you know, the purity of a relationship, you know, there's no other relationship that's going to be as pure as the one that you have with your husband, outside mm-hmm. of God, of course, mm-hmm. but that physical person that's on the planet, that's with you day in and day out, sleeping with you, making financial decisions, raising your children, the investment that you put in this one person that you chose to live with for the rest of your life, you have to feel comfortable with him and her. So sometimes, you know, when you talked earlier about the conversation, you know, do you ask? And you're right. Sometimes we do have to read the body language, and you have to know your partner. I ask my husband a lot of times, you know, what he thinks about something. But I also observe, even when he doesn't say something, he'll say something, but I'll observe how he's actually responding to something that I do. And one thing I've always said is there's certain things that I will not put ahead of him just because I personally know that it would be damaging. I will drop whatever I'm doing. If he wants to go catch a movie and I'm in the middle of something, I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing to make sure that my marriage is safe and healthy. So that to me is paying attention to, hey, he wants to go play right now. That's more to me, that's more important. I could go and take on all these fun hobbies, but I know that that's going to take me away from home. And even though my partner would be supportive of me doing whatever I want to do, I know what's healthy for us. So we're the ones, that's why God made a helpmate, you know. We're the ones who get to see all of the pieces that belong, and we're the ones that are going to have to put it all together.
But amen.
Transparency is, I would say, it's what's going to create the most trust,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's going to make a woman feel the best in her relationship, or the man, because
You know, I was about to say that.
Yeah. Each person, it depends on what, you know, each person is unique, but women mm-hmm. have that need for the security because we're built to feel our husband is going to be the one to protect our emotions. But mm-hmm. the husband can only protect his emotions to the degree that he knows how to do it, to the degree that we share with him what's important to us. That's why, you know, we have forgiveness and grace and mercy and, you know, 70 times 7, because like you said, there's no big sins going on. It's just sometimes not knowing, and even not knowing how. So we have to be able to have that confidence in ourselves and in our God, that we can be okay even if the day comes and you don't have that perfect transparency, you know, it's
mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm. That's true. You know, I believe sometimes, you know, because I can be the most vulnerable, the most transparent, you have to trust your spouse enough to be that vulnerable. And prayerfully, you wouldn't have married him or her if you didn't think you could. But my husband, I entrust with some of my most personal things because I know that they're safe. I know it's a safe place. And I believe that's a two-way street. I believe that just as I can share the things that I may be, even my even if it's a good thing, it could be an extremely lofty goal. It could be a passion or a desire that I have and I've not shared it with anybody. It could be sharing the intimate part of, you know, how I care for my mother and my father as they're aging. You know, I know that when I share it with my husband, not only do I feel safe enough to be able to share it, but I know that my mind, along with his brilliant mind, will help us come up with a decision or an answer, or there'll be a prayer coverage that'll really give me a peace that'll surpass my understanding. Because in a moment when you're concerned about a loved one, you can't understand, you know, how you're going to get your peace back, even though you know it's there. And sometimes it's the covering of your mate that'll help you kind of settle down and calm down and rest assured that God is able and will. So that's a very, very, very good nugget. So you guys remember that, you know, don't violate the trust. That closeness has to be there to be transparent. Be transparent with your mate. After all, if you're making these monumental, mountainous decisions together, from you know, raising your children and your financial decisions, clearly you're in each other's business. And if you're in each other's business, you should be in each other's personal lives as well. So that's a very, very, very good nugget. Go ahead and share another tip with us.
Nurture yourself. Nurture yourself. You you know, women, you know, you hear the word self-care, and sometimes when I see that word self-care, it doesn't exactly, like, resonate the way it's probably intended, but it's really a true principle. You know, we're supposed to love others, but we love ourselves, too. We're a part of that. We're the same part of that love that we have for the world. And I would say make sure that you are getting enough, the basics, getting enough sleep, getting enough water, eating healthy, exercise. I don't know how we can live without movement and enjoying our, you know, our physical health, and take good care of yourself as an individual, and keep your emotional health safe and secure so that you can relate to your partner in a healthy manner. Like if you're overtired, you know, you didn't eat well, you might not be in the position to communicate so well. So make sure your women have a tendency to put the kids first, put their husband, take care of the house, and they do a lot of things but forget to take good care of themselves.
That's good. That's really good. Because if mama go down, the whole house go down, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, usually if the wife ends up being so exhausted from work and taking care of the kids and doing the household chores and running the errands and going grocery shopping, and the laundry list never quite ends, and if her job is demanding as well, you know, then you and you're putting the children and the husband and the church activities and all of the other things that need to take place before, you really can find yourself in an upside down or a depleted state. I call it you're trying to make a withdrawal out of an empty bank account, and you can't do that. And so I completely 1,000% agree with that, ladies and men. You know, but we're in this particular topic, I think most we're talking to the women. Men will press pause for themselves, be it, you know, go and watch a game, or, you know, just kind of tune everything out and listen to some good music. But women sometimes feel guilty they take on those pleasures. And nothing is wrong with you taking a Calgon bath or whatever your bath situation is. Calgon seems to date me, I think, Melody. But whatever your ism is, like I'll light some candles and sit in front of the fireplace or read a good book, or, you know, just doing something for me, be it if, you know, if you go to the beauty shop or if you go to the nail salon. I also go and get massages on a regular basis, but I also make sure that I'm making my heart healthy. And that's making sure I get a certain amount of steps in. As a matter of fact, last weekend we had a young lady, Charlie, on Fit Through Faith, and I took her 5-day challenge, and I've been making sure that I get my minimum of 5,000 steps in every single day. So ladies, do that for you, because in the long run, it's going to benefit you, it'll boost your energy, and it'll help keep your marriage, you know, sizzling, so you can keep that intimacy without you feeling all like, turn on all the lights, honey, you know. All of those things kind of help. So
that's
Melody,
true.
Before we go to the next one, we're going to press pause for the cause, do one more station identification, and then we're going to come back and we'll roll it on out. I want to remind you, if you want to call in, please feel free to give us a call. You can dial in and ask a question or make a comment. The phone number is 347-324-5246. That's 347-324-5246. Press 1 and you'll be entered into the queue. We'd love to hear from you, because this conversation isn't just a two-way street here with Melody and I. We know you've got some things on your mind or some questions that you'd like to ask and or comments, and we'd love to hear them. So we'll be right back after a very brief, short commercial break.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. I had no idea how hard it would be and what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and ways for me to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics, but also information about the hurdles I was facing. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Welcome back. This is OMG, the O. Marigail Radio Show, and I'm your host, Marigail, and my special guest tonight is none other than the beautiful, the talented, the gifted Melody Charles. And we've been talking about making marriage intimacy mo better, because it gets better. So go ahead, Melody. You know, every time I say your name, I want to sing it, but I'm not because, you know, people's ears might bleed.
You can sing it.
But you know what comes to mind? It's my melody.
Oh, I don't know that one.
There you have it.
Sounds good.
There you have it. Go ahead and roll out another one.
Now you got it out. Now you got it out.
I got it out. Look, I got it out.
You got
it out. It was like itching to come out. I had to sing your name because you were just such a barrel of joy, and you always have been. And I'm so grateful that we get to. You're welcome. I'm so grateful we get to have this conversation, even though I said I'm sharing you with my listeners because they're just eavesdropping on the conversation I've been wanting to have with you. So let's go ahead and keep the train rolling because we only have about 15 minutes, and I want to make sure we get all that you've got for this segment out. So go ahead and share another tip with us.
All right. Well, did you want the singles tips? Do you want some marriage?
Yeah, let's go ahead and for the singles. You know, she's been married for 6 years, but I know she can recall when she was single. So we're gonna actually, you know, segue over to the, you know, waiting for Mr. Righteous part of the world, because there are non-married and single listeners. I know you're out there and you're wondering about going to those Christmas parties solo and the holiday humdrum sometimes if you don't have someone to join you on the events or even exchange the holiday gifts with. So just any kind of nuggets or advice you can share from your toolbox with some of them would be most appreciated.
Aw, yep. Well, I definitely, first of all, I kind of going back to, you know, what you started off with the show earlier, just, you know, maybe when you first get out of a situation, you probably aren't in the best emotional state. So, you know, depending on where you are, kind of nurture yourself from that point. And spiritually, you want to make sure that you're staying as close as you can, keep that word going, because it's a temptation. Everything is going to go against what it should be for your life, okay? And if you're a single person, I say if you're born again and you're single, you're not married, that you're in that moment, you're in the best place. Because until you're healthy and prepared for marriage, it's good that you're not married just yet. But still have your understanding that it is God's plan for you to be married. I think that it's easy for us to think a marriage is just about having a relationship, having a companion, someone to go through life with, a boo, as my daughter says, somebody that, you know, we can hang out with, have children with. Well, those are just kind of natural. But if we raise our mind bigger and look at the bigger picture, that there is something bigger about marriage, that number one, God said, that a man would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they'd be one flesh, and they'd have dominion. So that was God's plan from day one, regardless of what's happening in society or culture or your individual experience. The ideal is to be married. It's not about needing a husband. It's not that I'm incomplete because I am not married. None of that. You are complete. We're complete no matter what. But what it is saying is that God had an original plan, and our goal and target should just match that. That's where our faith comes in, to believe God for his original plan. So for a single person who's not exactly in that moment, she can be believing God for that. Pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that I have the man of God that is best suited for me. I believe I receive him at the right time in Jesus' name. And then She goes on, she's believed God in that moment gave it to her, it's done. She's married at this point. Now she's going to spend the rest of her life creating an abundant life because John 10:10 says, beloved, I have come. I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. And then John 10 tells us that Jesus came for us to have an abundant life. So it's important that no matter what stage, married, single, divorced, you know, it doesn't matter. Today is an abundant day because it's my right in Christ. So if you're a single person, you're going to go to the party if you believe it's wise for you to go. And you're going to enjoy yourself at the party.
it's a normal, healthy Christmas party, and you're going to use that opportunity to get to know people, to enjoy that day, because that's the day God gave to you. So there is no such thing as a holiday humdrum, because if let's say that something bad happened today, the natural thing is going to be in a humdrum. See, mm-hmm. if things aren't quite right, we're always going to naturally be drawn by our flesh to be carnal and pulled into the humdrum. By faith, we're going to fight against that, because we have in our mind that we know that that's not normal. We know that we're not supposed to be. So it's okay. There is no condemnation. If you really feel you need to stay in bed, it's okay. No matter what you have to do to get to the other side through Christ, it is okay. But I would say, I would encourage you to, like you mentioned, candles in your mm-hmm. home. If you're mm-hmm. by yourself, create the environment of thriving
yes.
life, vibrancy.
Yes.
Fill your refrigerator with healthy food. Get out, enjoy the weather. Put your jacket on. Go for a run. Go for a walk. Call a friend. Call a family member. Take yourself out to a simple meal. Watch a movie. Put the candles on. Take your bath. Get a massage. Do whatever it is. If you were married, wouldn't you thrive? So you deserve to thrive when you're not married.
And, you know, Melody, I'm going to piggyback on that, because I do have some nuggets about that as well. Very important what you just said. You know, do not, you know, a lot of times women, and there are so many, I've got quite a few girlfriends who are unmarried, who have never been married, and they desire to be married. And I'm not sure, you know, that every person who's single will get married in the physical sense of getting married and you know, letting the two become one, because I believe the enemy has set up so many traps and tricks.
Mm-hmm.
To prohibit some women from getting to that point. But I was never the woman who said there's not enough men out there. And I was never the woman who said, oh, there's a shortage of good men. And I was never the woman who said all the good men are either married or locked up or what. That's just not my mentality. So I don't operate from a place of depletion. I operate from a place of abundance. So that's never been my charge. I've never confessed that over my life, and that has not been my story. And I've got girlfriends who also, I don't think all of them have said that. I don't think they've all confessed, you know, there aren't any good men. But I also believe I have girlfriends who have been waiting for a man to show up to live. And that's where, when you just made the statement you just made, light the candles around your house, go to the movie. I used to go to dinner by myself. I go to 5-star restaurants because I deserve 5-star meals.
Yes,
I'd go to, I'd take a trip out of the country by myself because I wanted to travel. I didn't wait for my husband to show up to take me on an adventure. I took myself on adventures. I knew what I liked, so that by the time he showed up, I was able to say, hey, I like this and I like that. And he's like, hey, I like that and this too. And then he was able to tell me some of the things he liked and the places he liked to go. Because if you're waiting for the person to show up and they've been living their life, guess what you're going to do? You're now going to only be able to see the life through his lens or her lens, if she's the one that's been living her life and you've been waiting on hold. So the wait isn't to be a passive wait. There is an active wait. When I'm in a waiting room at a doctor's office, for example, you wait for the doctor to call you by sitting there twiddling your thumbs, watching the clock go by, which means it's going to be a long, laborious, painstaking wait. Or you can be active, be about something, do something, read a book, read a magazine, you know, take care of some marketing or something. There's a way to wait so that you're not passively waiting by. And I say this to our single men and women, live life so that when he or she shows up, you've got something to show for the time that you've been apart. You've got some accomplishments. You've got, you know yourself better to know what you like to do, what you don't like to do. But that does not mean do not be flexible, because when he or she shows up, there needs to be an inclusion as well. And on that note, Melody, because we only have about 6 minutes left, I want to know if there's any anything else that's on your heart that you'd like to share in about a minute or two. And if not, I'm going to have you share with our listeners some more information about your book, because some people are tuning in, have either tuned in late, or they'll be catching us catching us via the podcast and may want to find out where they can get your book, the title of your book, and then where we might be able to catch up with you on social media. So if you would like to share a nugget or two, a final thought about intimacy and marriage, that would be great. And then we can go into where they can find your book and how they can keep up with you on social media.
Okay. I would say for your marriage is to just look at your marriage as something bigger than just you and your husband or your wife. Look at your marriage as, number one, it's the covenant of God. It's the way that we're intended to live, and we're going to figure it out, but it should be good. It should be good. So we're going to figure out how to keep it good, and we're going to have to nurture it for as long as we're together. It's not something that you can just set it and forget it. It's going to be something that we're going to keep changing and make goals. The other thing for single people, I would say if you're a single person, make sure you can identify your own values, what's important to you, and what is God putting in your heart as your purpose for this life. As you're fulfilling your purpose and you're getting the understanding of who you are as a person, that as you're on your journey, then God can help your paths cross with the person who's also on a journey, because ultimately when you get married, you're going to be in that same covenant, and your purpose is something, God has something for you two together, that you can be supportive of together. And my book is The Smart Girl's Guide to Choosing Mr. Righteous, and it does have a lot of questions that can help you really dig into what is important, what kind of conversations you should be having with somebody to see if he would be a good candidate to marry, as well as, of course, hearing from the Holy Spirit. And like you said, Marla, no matter how much preparation you do, you will be adapting, growing, and changing. And remember, there's also an enemy who wants to come after you, if you're a single person, to take you away from the things of God, have you attached maybe to the wrong person, or prevent you from having hope that you do have the opportunity to possibly be married, and to destroy a marriage. So we are winners. We will not quit. We are going to live an abundant life, whether we're single or married, because this Amen. Is the journey, and it's an extraordinary journey that God has given us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you have a website?
My website is melodycharles.com or chooseyourbestlifetoday.com, because every
Perfect.
Day we make choices so that we can live our best life.
Our best life. That's it. All right, Melody Charles, I thank you so much for being my special guest. You guys heard it right here, Making Marriage Intimacy Mo Better. And there's a couple of little nuggets that I just want to add to the conversation that I believe we can continue the conversation on social media if you'd like. But she said, look at your marriage as something bigger than you. And what I heard when she said that was, find out the purpose of it. What can the two of you do together that you couldn't do apart from one another? So in that goal setting, look and forecast some of that. And then also you talked about what did you do? Well, you didn't mention this, but I wanted to mention this. What did you do to get him or her? Keep doing that and do it more. And then also don't take your mate for granted. People get comfortable sometimes, and I've heard women snap at men, and I've heard men snap at women. We should never get so comfortable with our mate that you verbally abuse or mentally abuse or demean them or embarrass them. This is the person that God blessed you with. Honor that person. And even if they haven't been honoring you correctly, you'll continue to sow those seeds, because those seeds are deposited into a bank account, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual bank account. And you can't help but get a refund, a reward, or a return on that ROI, that return on investment, if you continue to download, deposit, and bless the person that you're with. Again, my name is Mara Gale. You've been listening to the OMG, the O Mara Gale Radio Show. I can be reached at maragale.com and on social media at Mara Gale. I'm going to tune out by allowing you to roll on home with our theme song. God bless you. Until next time, Merry Christmas. Oh,
We're going to have fun. I can't wait to give you the answers to the questions you've been wanting. Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial.